Let's open up our Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to look at chapter 1 with you, and this is my favorite of all the books that Paul wrote. Paul, a man whose life was absolutely transformed by Jesus. When he met Jesus, he was forever changed, and I believe that's true for every single human being on planet Earth. To meet Jesus is to be loved by Jesus and to understand his love. To truly meet him is to never be the same again. And this is Paul's story. And so let's read what he wrote to a church in Ephesus thousands of years ago. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. So I don't know how many of us here saw the movie Jungle Book when it was in the theaters recently, but if you're one of those people that missed it, I don't even know what to say to you, because it was so good, you shouldn't have missed it. And I mean that. It was an amazing movie, and a lot of us, we just packed out the theaters with us and our children. We would take our children there as sort of a reason to go, sort of we could hide behind them a little bit and say, I want to watch an animated movie, so I'll take my kids to it. And that's what Kathy and I did. And our kids are 20 and 22, all right? So it's getting a little bit hard to hide behind them, but we did it anyway. But I absolutely love that movie. I love the older version of it, and this one was amazing. And it's my favorite animated movie, where you've got Baloo the bear just kind of rowing down the river, singing the bear necessities. And they left this line out, but in the original one, he's like, get with a beat, Baggy. And he's just a super cool bear. And King Louie, of course, where he's going, ooby-doo, I want to be like you, ooh-ooh. And I'm like, I mean, this is so cool, right? It is amazing. And in the middle of this movie, this is worth the entire price of admission. I'm not going to tell you the movie. If you haven't seen it, you should. But here, there's a line in this movie that comes from a man named Rudyard Kipling. He wrote this poem that's way back in the 1800s, and they picked up this line and put it in the movie. And Mowgli, who's a young boy that was left in the woods and got raised by a wolf pack, because that's what happens, right? If you get left in the woods, wolves adopt you. And so, all right, so I'm just, stay with me, because this is what happened. So he's out being raised by wolves, and the pups and this little Mowgli are in this place where they're listening to the leader of the pack. And the pack is teaching them the code of the wolves. And they repeat it. And the line that just stirred in me and made me think of us is this. That the strength of the pack is in the wolf. And the strength of the wolf is in the pack. I went, that's awesome. The strength of the pack is in the wolf. And the strength of the wolf is in the pack. The strength, you could take it anywhere. You could just say, the strength of the team is in the player. And the strength of the player is in the team. The strength of the company is in the employee. And the strength of the employee is in the company. The strength of the nation is in its citizen. And the strength of the citizen is in its nation. And I think in some parts, that is what Paul is trying to get at here. Now, he's trying to do way more than that, but trying to invite the church in Ephesus and now us into understanding that we have strength because of you. And you have strength because of us. We belong to each other. You have been invited into something that's larger than you. I'm a part of something that is bigger than me. We all have been invited in by God, chosen by God, enlisted by God into something that is way, way beyond us. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, we just read the first 14 verses. Paul is attempting for the church to understand this and way more. In fact, in these first 14 verses, we already see Paul stating some things that really we could just say, this guy has just given us a snapshot of the entire gospel. We can see almost the entire good news of God, the entire Bible, just encapsulated in 14 verses. Now, not all of it, but a lot of it. And he used words that I love, you probably loved, when he's saying these words that God is speaking over people, over these people. And he said to them that they are chosen, they are blessed, they're redeemed, they've been lavished with love, they have been the people that have been forgiven, they've been marked, and they've been included. And I'm like, sign me up for that, right? I want to be a part of that. Because when it comes to being chosen, I want to be chosen. I want to be, if you think about being chosen for a team, like, I want to be chosen for the team. I don't want to be the one that's left out. And if you think about what it means to belong or to be lavished with love, I go, that's me. I want to fit in with the people. I want to be a part of a people. And I want to be loved. I want that my love, my life. And when you think about to be marked and to be sealed, I'm like, yeah, I want my life to matter. I want it to be marked with something that actually matters, and people could look at me and say there's something different about that guy, and we would be able to explain what that is. I want that. Forgiven. Yeah, I want that. I mean, who doesn't? Forgiven. And when you think about times where you've done something wrong, you've made a mess, and you go, I don't have to go that far. I could talk about yesterday, or I could talk about this morning. And when the relationship gets broken, I want it put back together. I do. And who doesn't want to be included? Such a cool word. I want to be included. I never want to be left out. I don't. I want to be a part of. These are the words that Paul is using to describe the relationship that God has with people and people have with God. And God's taken the initiative saying, I choose, I forgive, I lavish, I mark, I seal, I invite, I include you in me. Pretty amazing. This is good news. Good news for the people of Ephesus. Hey, Ephesus. I mean, Paul has got the greatest story to go tell. Ephesus, you're loved. Ephesus, I'm coming to you with some great news. You're chosen. I'm coming to you with amazing news. You've been redeemed and forgiven and marked and sealed. You're included in God's big plan in this world. And that really sounds like amazing news. And it is. But news that's almost, if you know Ephesus, it's almost unbelievable. Like, seriously? Ephesus? Like, this is a head scratcher, shake your head sort of, are you kidding me news? Them? Because Ephesus, well, Ephesus, let's talk about them. Here's a map of ancient Ephesus right here. And you can see some of the ancient cities, and Ephesus was located right on a port. If you remember or know something about geography that is today, maybe from when you were in school, you might have some remembrance of where this stuff is. But if you think of modern day Turkey, Ephesus would be located on the western coast of Turkey. So it's part of that region. And Ephesus, it was a port city, not just any port city. You can see where it sits, of course. It's sitting on the water, but it's not just some port city. It is the port city of the ancient world. It was known as the Gateway of Asia. It was actually called, this is one of the titles that they gave to it. They gave them a title and said, you are the roadway or the highway to Rome. All of the world came through there. And it also got labeled because of that, that this is the hub of the world. Imagine that. Your city, the place where you live, the people you belong to, we're the hub of the world. We are it. We're the gateway to Rome. To give you an idea of what this place looked like, you have to begin to think about Roman baths. You have to think about libraries. Begin to think about paved streets back in that day. And not just paved streets, but the 300,000 people that lived in Ephesus had a street that ran out of their city all the way down to the harbor that had pillars, big stone pillars. Not big in the sense that you go 6 foot tall. I'm talking 20, 30 foot tall pillars made out of stone. The kind that hold up porches on the houses when you look at them. Only they're not made out of something other than stone carved that line 36 foot wide street all the way out of the city down to the harbor. Amazing, amazing look to the city. And it was impressive. But as impressive as this city was, as big as their name was in the world, the port city of the world, the number one distributor of stuff that went throughout the whole province of Asia, as important and as cool as the city was, all of the stuff they had, their amphitheaters, their huge auditoriums, their baths, their streets that were just magnificent, all of that stuff pales in comparison to the temple that they had in Ephesus. And the temple looks something like this. We don't have what it looks like because we dug it up. This is what it would have looked like. Here's the remains of it now that's left of it. And they unearthed it. But this temple was so magnificent, so beautiful, so incredible that it got labeled one of the seven wonders of the world. Ephesus, home to one of the seven wonders of the world. And you go, what is this temple for? There are 33 other temples for the same thing that are in Ephesus. What is this temple for? I mean, why did they build it? And for whom did they build this temple? For whom? And we could leap here and begin to think about, why did we build this building? What for? Was it for us? We would have to say, no, it's not for us. It is, but it needs to be about something more than that. And we didn't build this just for us. And we could say, was it for other people that were still yet to come? Sure. But I still don't think that's a good enough reason to say that we made this building for people. We know deep down that we have been called by God, chosen by God. We've been lavished with a love that is so incredible that sometimes we just got to get on our feet and worship the one. We made this place for His glory. It's for Him. So when we ask, what is this temple for? We really have to ask, for whom is the temple? One of seven wonders of the world. Who is this temple in Ephesus built for? And it was built for a fertility goddess named Artemis. This was the Greek language. or Diana, depending on what translation of the Bible you read, you will bang into that name in the book of Acts. Either Artemis or Diana. And Diana was the Latin term that was used for this goddess that they worshipped. And I'm not going to say much about the kind of worship that they did, but they were dedicated to it. Dedicated to the worship of this fertility goddess. You let your mind go and then drag it back about what that was like. These were the people of Ephesus. Worshipping, and I mean seriously worshipping, making her famous throughout the world. In fact, it went so far that there were coins that came from all over the world in different areas, not just Ephesus, that bore the image of Artemis on it, bore the image of Diana on it. They're busy. Let's make our goddess famous. Beginning to get a picture, the hub of the world. We made a name for ourselves. We have a goddess that we are worshiping. And we are just letting go and doing whatever. And we're not done describing Ephesus, because Ephesus didn't stop with their 33 plus temples for Artemis, for Diana. They moved on and made a few more temples to worship some other stuff, including three temples that they set up for the worship of emperors. They were worshiping the leaders of Rome, and that's good news for your economy. That's going to allow some bank to come in from Rome into your area. And so this is who this people are. In fact, beyond that, they're filled with wizards. They had sorcerers. They had people that were witches that were there, astrologers, diviners of the entrails of human beings and the entrails of animals. And you're going, what is that? I don't know. But that's who Ephesus was. No wonder Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in the second chapter saying to them, I want you to remember. And for us, we have to do a bit of a history lesson to say, what are they remembering? I want you to remember who you were before the gospel came to you. You were a people that were stuck in your life of sin. You were running around letting everybody around you tell you what to do, and they didn't have the first clue about what to do either. All of you just doing what you felt like doing it. All of you were in the exact same boat, and it is a wonder. Oh, you have the seventh wonder of the world sitting here, but it's a wonder. Here's the real wonder, that God didn't do away with every single one of you. But He didn't. Instead, He said, I choose you. Instead, He said, I forgive you for my own sake, for us. Instead, He said, I'm going to lavish you with a love that's going to cascade down over you like a waterfall and soak you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I am going to send His Son into this world. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to convict you of that and convince you of that and to show you just how deep and how wide and how long and how far my love actually goes. And then I'm inviting you in. I'm going to include you to be a part of something bigger than yourselves. That this hub of the world will be known for something other than all of that. It'll be known for my glory and for the sake of this entire world. Flip over to the book of Acts, chapter 19 with me. Because we get a picture of how He actually did that. And as you turn in there, I want you to think for a minute about who makes the first move in this. And it's God that's making the first move. The words already say it. I choose you. I forgive you. I'm lavishing you. I'm going to include you. I'm looking at you and I'm recruiting you, bringing you in. I have all this for you that I long to get to you. I just want you to know. It's what Andrew and it's what Bree are giving their lives for, to go out and to say, I'm going and I'm going to be a messenger of this news. As Paul went to Ephesus, I'll go and bring this news because it's too good to just keep. And God is trying to get that into the hearts of the church in Ephesus that was not yet a church. And in verse 8, we get a picture of what this looks like. Paul's on one of his journeys in there trying to bring the gospel. And it says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. I mean, that makes sense a little bit to me. I'm just saying, this is the hub of the world. This city has got it going on. They have all the beauty, and this is the place in the Asian world. This is it. And Paul's showing up saying, I'm asking you to trade it in. I'm asking you to stop worshiping. Stop your sorcery. Stop your witchcraft. I'm asking you to stop worshiping Artemis. And we're like, what are you talking about? This is one of the seven wonders of the world. We made her famous in the world. And they became obstinate, though he came with the truth and this good news, trying to get it out to the church. And the church is going, or not the church, to the people. And the people are shoving back, going, we don't want it. You can take your stuff. We're good as it is. It's all good. We're not trading this for your thing. Hit the road and began to malign the way of Christ. So it says, Paul left them and he took the disciples with him and had daily discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And they went on for 2 years. It's a long time. Didn't just come in and say, here's the news. And then the whole city changed. No, it fought against it. And sometimes, isn't that true of us? That when things are just going so well, when we just sort of going, man, I've made it. I'm comfortable. We have what I wanted in life. And I'm in a good place in life. That it's harder to yield and say, I'll trade for something else. No, I'm pretty comfortable going this direction. The way I've been running, the way I've been living, the way I've been rolling, I'm just going to keep rolling this direction. That's what's going on here. And sometimes for us, when God says, I need a change of course, I'm looking for a course correction here. It's hard, and that's what's going on. 2 years of arguing and 2 years of discussion, 2 years of engaging them, saying, what are you doing? There's a better way, and there's a real God, and you're worshiping a false God. And eventually, he begins to get some traction. God is using Paul, working hard, trying to get these people to understand you're chosen. You belong to me. Verse 11, God goes so far as to do this. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. And look how far God's willing to go, laboring for 2 years through Paul, and then going, I'm going to take it up a notch. Because these people matter so much. These people, they matter so much to me. And I want them to know so badly that I'm choosing them as my own. I want to adopt them as my sons and my daughters out of this grand orphanage called Earth. That he begins to perform these miracles through Paul. So that even, it's crazy stuff, but even Paul's handkerchief that he had touched saying, I can't get to everybody, but bring this. God's in the business of healing people. God is in the business of making himself known above every other god in this region. And go, bring it, and let the gospel spread through these signs and through these wonders. And then, not just that, but some Jews, verse 13, went around driving out evil spirits and tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who were demon-possessed. So what's going on here is this. Paul had been setting people free. God's using him for that.
Paul's doing all these amazing miracles. God's using them for that. There's some guys that are looking going, it's kind of cool. We think, let's us do it. We've watched him enough. Our turn. See, they know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They know of his power because they've watched it, but they think it's really Paul's some kind of nifty trick. And they tried to do the same thing. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them and gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So the question that I have when I read that is like, would God use that? I'm not saying did God do that. Those are two different things. But would God use that? And many of us here today, we could stand up and give testimony going, yeah, God would use that. That's not my story. My detail's not that, but I have my own story. And when this happened to me, when life got really hard, when I just was up against a wall and crashing my head into it again and again, God finally used that to get my attention. When whatever it is, some hardship hits or some diagnosis comes, I'm not saying God does it, it's different. I'm saying, will God even in that use that to draw people to himself? And the answer is yes. Yes, he'll use anything and everything because he is so crazy about people. He's making such a pitch for this community that was Ephesus. Ephesus, this place he chooses to go after, which gives me great hope. If them, who would be outside of it, right? If them, then everybody. And when we read on in verse 17, we know how God uses this. He's using Paul's teaching. He's using Paul's 2 years of laboring, trying to bring the gospel. He's using the miracles, and he's using that story because this story began to spread. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, who was held in high honor, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. And a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came in to 50,000 drachmas. That's an incredible story. Here are these people that are resistant. These people that are saying, we don't need your stuff. These people that are fighting against it. And God keeps coming. He keeps pursuing. He keeps chasing after, saying, you're fighting. You're fighting. But I love you. And he pursues. And he pursues. And he pursues. And eventually, through this story, there's a group of sorcerers that finally say, we yield. We yield. And we are not just yielding with lips, but we're trading our professions in. We're done. I will not be the same man that I used to be. I'm done being that person. I am going deep into the waters, and I am going to come out a brand new person. In fact, here's my whole livelihood. Let's burn it. And they burned all of their tools of the trade, all of their scrolls, and just burned them to the tune of 50,000 drachmas, which really is the equivalent of 137 years of wages. One man's wage for 137 years just up in smoke. Trading it in and trading up. So my question would be this today. Why did Luke write this stuff that we just read out of the 19th chapter of the book of Acts? Why? Why did he write that?
And why did Paul, this guy who met Christ, why did Paul give himself so much so that he would just give his whole life to persuading and pleading? And even when he wrote this letter that we just read to the book, to the people in Ephesus, he's in prison at that time when he wrote it. Why would Paul write this letter to the people of Ephesus? Why? And maybe a better question is, why, this one fits for us today, why would God keep the 19th chapter of Acts, and why would he keep and so secure the book of Ephesus that it would see its way through the generations all the way up to this point right here? I think the answer is because of you. It's because of you. It's because of me. It's because he hasn't changed his mind. It's because there's a lot of stories that could be told, 1,000+ stories right here that we could just start telling, right? We each have our own individual story, and we would say, my story is different than the story of Ephesus. I didn't grow up there. I didn't live in that culture. I didn't live in that day and that time, but yeah, I have my own story. I have my own stuff. And we can read in this a story about people and a story about God and a story about God in relationship to people, making a pitch for people's hearts, saying that he is in the business of choosing people. He's in the business of forgiving people. He's in the business of lavishing people with an incredible love. He's in the business of calling people his own, adopting them as sons and daughters. You now belong to the kingly tradition. You're part of my kingdom. He's in the business of including people in his plan for this world. God hasn't changed his mind, even though our stories are a little bit different. They're very similar in so many other ways. And we understand that God sent his son into this world really for just two reasons. And it's all about the stuff we're talking about. He sent his son into this world to seek and save that which is lost, people, and to destroy the work of the enemy. That stuff that's going on in your Ephesus, they live there, we don't. That stuff that's going on in your Ephesus, I don't know what that might be for you. He's in the business of just wrecking that to set you free. And he's in the business of calling you, the work of calling you to himself, to lavish you with the love and to set you on a course where your life can make a massive difference. I wonder if we could just hear. I know it's my voice, but just hear God even now. As if he were hovering over this place, because he is, he's here. Speaking into the deepest part of you. I choose you. I love you. I have a love for you that I just want to lavish over you. I want to heal you in the deepest place of your wound. I'm willing to forgive you. Yes, even of that, it's okay. Let it go. I've let it go. I'm calling you to myself. I'm asking you to join me. You're included in this plan that I have for you. That's the power of this word that's been saved through all the generations. I think for us right here this morning. And as I said, there are many stories that could be told here today. We each have one. But the real story, it's the same story. We are in need and he's willing to supply. We need forgiveness and he's the forgiver. We want to belong and he says, I choose you. We want to be a part of and he says, you're included. You're included. No exceptions. And I want us to hear this morning that story just through two individuals, and we're going to roll a video in just a second, and listen to the story of them making that decision
very different and very much the same as the sorcerers that said, we're done, we're trading then. We're going into the deep waters and we're going to come out new people. Let's listen to their story.
Years ago, Morgan and I weren't really connected to a church at all. We weren't a part of a church. And our friend Molly and Leah, they introduced us to Fairhaven. We began going to Fairhaven's youth group. And like instantly, we started making connections with the leaders and the other kids in the group. And it was like something really special. And the leaders, Phil, Randy, Nicole, and Gunner, all like made us feel like family. And I feel like that was like the start of something.
Once youth group kind of came to an end of the year, everyone started talking about this cool new thing, Youth Week. And me and Jordan were like, oh, that sounds fun. And they, our leaders, Phil, Randy, Nicole, and Gunner, they all told us about like the new experiences and ways to get closer to God. And me and Jordan thought that would be so cool if we could get closer to God in some way. And Molly and Aaliyah both told us how amazing it was last year for them. And they offered to sign up with us so that we didn't feel so, like, alone at the beginning.
I was interested in being baptized because I knew that once something clicked in my life that I needed something. I wanted something to symbolize that. Once I heard about the Geneva baptism, it was shortly after Youth Week that I found out about it, and I knew it was something that was very possible that I could do. God was telling me that I needed to get baptized, and this was something I absolutely needed to do.
The best part about that was I was able to be baptized with my two best friends, Molly and Jordan, that we were all able to do it on the same day at the same time.
Something that was really amazing to see was that my mom was able to be in the water with me while I was being baptized. And she thought my whole journey was so incredible and like touching to her. And she really wanted to be a part of that day. And she was able to be there and actually baptize me. And that was a really special moment for me and her.
Being able to show my family and my grandma, who's wanted this for so long for me, to show her that I was able to do it and then show it to the public and get them to try and do it and try and get involved. It was amazing.
Getting baptized was really important to me because I know that, like, I knew how life-changing, like, God has been to me. And I wanted to show, like, my friends and family. That was really important to me, to be able to show them how, like, I made it to this point and that, like, I wanted to show them my relationship with God, how strong it was, and how I was ready for that. And it felt really good to be able to do that in front of everybody.
Amen. So back to the Lion King, the strength of the pack is in the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is in the pack. Strength of a team is in the player, and the strength of the player is in the team. The strength of a company is in its employees, and the strength of the employees is in its company. There's one better in the church, because the strength of the church is in Christ. And the strength of Christ is in the church. The strength of Christ is somehow, it's in us. He took up residence inside of us. And it's in us, the church. And he's asking us to just join him. He's asking us, will you just let me love you? He's asking us, will you just allow me to adopt you as a son or a daughter? He's choosing us to be included in his amazing plan
to change this world one person at a time. And I don't know what God's stirring inside of each one of us, but I know He's stirring in me right now. That truth that He has empowered me by His Holy Spirit for the good news of Jesus in the world to share it with people. And I don't know if maybe He's stirring in you, even what He was stirring in those girls, like it's time. It's time for me to just go in the deep waters. I'm ready for baptism. And man, if that's you, we are going to celebrate that at such a high level, and not just us, but it says that heaven itself rejoices in that. If you're saying it's time, and maybe you had an infant baptism, but you're saying, I want a renewal of this baptism. I want that as an adult. We want to be a part of that too, that you're making that step. Or maybe you've never been baptized in your entire life and you're saying, I want to step into the waters of baptism because I'm hearing the call of Jesus as He's whispering over me. You're chosen. I love you. You're forgiven. You are being lavished with love. You're mine. Come. And you can sign up today. You can do that by connecting with Sherry. You can connect with me. You can go back to our information booth and sign up there. You can get online and sign up for that. And we're going to celebrate that. Not just us, but all of heaven is going to celebrate that. And maybe today you're in that place where you're just getting charged, saying, for me, He did that. For me, He's making that pitch in my heart. And for me, He's taken up residence so that I can be for something more than me. I can be for the sake of this world. I can join Him in His work to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'll be about the business of tearing down the work of the enemy in this world. So let's give ourselves to that. Lord, we now give ourselves over. It's almost a bit much to even speak it, but it's true. Like the sorcerers, us, like the sorcerers that said, I'm done. We'll just identify with them. In you, we're done. We're done doing this world for ourselves. We're done walking the wrong direction. We are done with any kind of thinking. Right now, some of us are just saying it again. I'm restating, reaffirming, maybe some of us for the very first time that are stating it and affirming it for the first time. We're going in, all in with you. We love you and we honor you and we thank you so much for choosing us. In your name we pray. Amen.